The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage. Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince of the power of the air.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Northern California counties and L.A. County, and perhaps some others, have issued a shelter-in-place order, making it a misdemeanor offense to violate the order and threatening incarceration and a fine on violators. California Governor Newsom has followed all of this with an order for all Californians to stay home by executive order. Now, what does all of this mean? Did California declare martial law? Has the U.S. Constitution been suspended or upended? Can the governor simply order people to stay home? Can county representatives make a law that contradicts the constitutionally protected rights of the people by fiat, by decree? How can they enforce these decrees? And will they enforce them? Is it a public trust thing? Or will the governor send out the National Guard or the state troopers or whatever to patrol our streets? Will there be stops and checkpoints and, guys in uniforms ominously saying, "Papers, please"? And then, of course, then there's the really, really important questions, like, is saying China virus or Chinese virus racist? Well, not more so than Chinese food or Mexican food or whatever, So that's the conversation we really need to have right now, because I think we might be hurting the feelings of Chinese people by saying this and so on. It goes back to that whole Muslim thing after 9/11. Well, anyway, let's all take our tinfoil hats off for the moment, shall we? There, I set mine down, and let's look at all of this honestly and reasonably. Are you ready? It's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
My friends, obviously, I cannot cover all of this in my 29-minute broadcast. There's just way too much material here that would need to be explored. However, I think you will find my messages preached Sunday night last and recently this last Wednesday night at the Lighthouse to be very helpful and enlightening. Now, you can find them on our Facebook page and on our YouTube channel. These messages provide important insight into what is going on. But in the brain massage today, I'm going to limit my comments to response to the governor's executive order, pretty much. And I think my broader audience will find this helpful as well. Let's begin by offering some clarity on what exactly the governor did say. I've read the executive order issued from the governor's office several times, in fact, and the essential elements of the order are as follows. The governor issued an executive order mandating compliance with the current state public health directives that he asked that department to put in place. Specifically, the language is, quote, all residents are directed to immediately heed the current state public health directives, end quote. This includes a link where you can look at these directives, and they are as follows. Do, one, stay home, two, wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, three, cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue, four, clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces, and then in parentheses, if soap and water aren't available, use alcohol-based hand sanitizer. And then don't shake hands. Two, touch your face. Three, go to the doctor if you aren't sick. And four, stockpile masks or gloves. Then he goes on to mention specific sectors that are unaffected or that are authorized by him to continue operations. And he does this by simply sending us to the Department of Homeland Security and its list of critical infrastructure, which includes the following: chemicals, chemical manufacturer, whatever. You got to keep them working on the vaccine, of course. Commercial facilities. This is an interesting one. It's rather broad. Places of general public access with no or limited barriers to public access. And the idea here is that people do need to have access to stores to get food or to doctor's offices, so on. Communication sector. Well, you need to keep people informed. Critical manufacturing sector. Well, you got to make the masks and the medicine, whatever. Obviously, dams, defense industrial base, emergency services, energy, financial services, food and agriculture, government facilities, healthcare and public health information technology, nuclear reactors, materials and waste, transportation systems, and water and wastewater. So, Governor Newsom's executive order clearly stipulates with regard to these, quote, the federal government has identified 16 critical infrastructure sectors whose assets, systems, and networks, whether physical or virtual, are considered so vital to the United States that their incapacitation or destruction would have a debilitating effect on security, economic security, public health or safety, or any combination thereof. I order that Californians working in these 16 critical infrastructure sectors may continue their work because of the importance of these sectors to Californians' health and well-being, end quote. Later, he clarifies what he has particularly in mind as critical. Quote, the supply chain must continue, and Californians must have access to such necessities as food, prescriptions, and health care. Now, these statements are very critical to the policy I've hammered out for Lighthouse Baptist Church. He then offers a recognition that people will have the liberty to leave their homes. I mean, you can't keep everybody locked up like they're in prison. When, he says, quote, when people need to leave their homes or places of residence, whether to obtain or perform the functions above or to otherwise facilitate authorized necessary activities, they should at all times practice social distancing, end quote. And that's the key. That's the spirit of this whole thing, social distancing. He gave the task of ensuring compliance to the Office of Emergency Services, and he stated that it shall be, quote, enforceable pursuant to California law, including, but not limited to, Government Code Section 8665. Now, this is where he puts teeth to the law. What is Government Code Section 8665? The California Emergency Services Act provides for government powers during a time of emergency. In the section providing for enforcement, Chapter 7, Article 19, Penalties and Severability, Section 8665 states, quote, any person who violates any of the provisions of this chapter or who refuses or willfully neglects to obey any lawful order or regulation promulgated or issued as provided in this chapter shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and, upon conviction thereof, shall be punishable by a fine of not to exceed $1,000, or by imprisonment for not to exceed 6 months, or by both such fine and imprisonment, end quote. Now, frankly, all of this is within the law. There is one statement, however, in his executive order that I think would fail under constitutional scrutiny. It's because it's open-ended. He did not stipulate a time frame. He said that this order stands, quote, until further notice, end quote. Now, he should have stipulated a time limitation that would require him to periodically revisit this decision. You know, 2 weeks, look at it again, 3 weeks, a month, something. Even if he had said something somewhat vague, like until further notice or until the pandemic is declared over. He needs to give this thing some kind of terminus other than just when he decides. This is dangerous, my friend. He does not have the power to indefinitely suspend our constitutional rights. It's an unprecedented reach of power, and anyone who cares about protecting our rights should be alarmed by this. Now, anyway, there you have it. The governor has exercised his powers under the Emergency Services Act to make it illegal for you to leave your home, except for reasons that he has given and within criteria he has outlined, but somewhat vaguely. In other words, he didn't so clearly define it as you find it defined in the edict recently issued by San Luis Obispo County. And I think Santa Barbara's done something similar, but I haven't read it yet. San Luis Obispo issued a countywide order that is very specific in its reach and addresses churches particularly. Churches can continue providing relief, broadcasting their services, quote, but no congregations of people, end quote. So, people cannot get together to pray in their churches. However, when it comes to distilleries, I noticed San Luis Obispo is much more generous. You see, the workers can congregate, get together at their work site to continue production and bottling of alcoholic beverages. By all means, let's protect that so we can see what's really important here. Oh, my. Let's get back to the governor's executive order. Texas governor issued a very similar executive order for the state of Texas, but when churches began asking for clarification regarding how it was going to affect them, he clarified that in his executive order, churches were not mentioned, and they should be considered exempt on the grounds of the First Amendment. Well, recognition of that there's a constitution out there. Governor Newsom did not mention churches in his executive order, but it seems unlikely he would have the same regard for church assemblies and their concerns as the governor of Texas has. In fact, I think Governor Newsom has about as much regard for the importance of church assemblies as, well, as most Californians have today. Now, maybe I'm wrong. I hope so. But the fact is, most Christians have little regard for the importance of church assembly. Most believe it is a non-essential function. You know, go when you can, when you have time, if you're not going to the beach, whatever, if you're not going somewhere. And they very easily set it aside. Not all, mind you, but, well, I think it's safe to say most, at least of those who identify as Christians. In Texas, there would be a general outcry of concern about this. But in California, you get stuff like this. You know, Jesus did not call us to go to church. He called us to be the church. Well, isn't that a brilliant statement? And all sorts of other pastors who are wisely counseling Christians, you know, act in accordance with your neighbor's expectations because of appearances, you know. You don't want to look like you don't care about this virus. And then the many who remind us of the biblical injunctions to obey the laws, to obey magistrates and so forth. And these last two are certainly worthy of consideration and have legitimacy within certain contexts. One very excellent pastor in Long Beach, Pastor Graves, made a very good point that I thought was probably the best faith response to this issue that I've heard encouraging Christians to accommodate the governor's order. He observed that Jesus violated the Sabbath in order to address a person's sickness. Now, I thought he had drawn an inference here from that story that is very insightful and legitimate. Now, I would consider that a biblical faith response to this. Now, I'm going to go in a slightly different direction here, but that's for the next segment. Okay, hold on to the break. Dr. Scheidbach, theologian extraordinaire, will weigh in on this, and I think I do have some expertise to bring to the table on this conversation. What will the brain masseur do?
God's war. Why Christians should rule the world. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the king and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as king. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. Go to godswar2020.com. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's Land Her Lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Man, they're making a grab for them lately, haven't they? Before I lay out my response to the governor's executive order, I want to say I intend to comply. What that compliance will look like is something I'll clarify at the conclusion, but I intend to obey the executive order as it is laid out in the text of that order. But first, I want to declare my statement of faith with regard to this issue. And in that, I'll respond to some faith issues that are raised by believers with which I disagree. For example, is it true that Jesus did not command us to go to church, but to be the church? I like that statement so well. It's so well balanced. It plays in the words real well. It's elegant. But listen, not one scripture says, be the church. That is premised on somebody's doctrine of the church being universal and that the so-called true church is invisible, that kind of thing, without going into details on that doctrinal dispute. One thing is clear. Jesus' church is organized as churches today. At least that's the testimony of the New Testament. But the question remains, did he instruct us to assemble? And the answer is yes. As a matter of fact, he did. Hebrews 10:25 gives clear instruction that we are expected to assemble ourselves together. 1 Corinthians 16:1 recognizes the common practice of early believers was to assemble themselves together when it says, upon the first day of the week, when ye are come together, quote unquote. Now, the word church includes the idea of assembling or congregating in its meaning, but I won't take time at present to go into that. Another favorite is to point out the many instances in Scripture where churches congregated in homes. And they certainly did, and I've done that. They also gathered in synagogues, however, and the synagogue became the model for the churches as the churches grew and expanded. Now, folks, the synagogue was a public assembly house. Churches have, since the very beginning of the church, gathered in public assembly houses dedicated to that function. Now, there is a spirit out there, indeed, that wants to make the church as invisible as it can, you know, to keep it from being having any public presence. Well, that's not the spirit of Christ. In fact, in principle, Jesus everywhere encourages us to make our confession public and our presence known. As to the question of whether church is essential, I say it is the most essential organization on the planet today. It is the house of God, after all. It is to be known as the house of prayer by all nations. In every disaster, our best shelter is the rock, and that rock is Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the founder of the churches. He is the head. It is the pillar and ground of the truth in every community as per his designation. It's a place for healing, both physically and spiritually, which is certainly part of its commission. As to the question of its importance, everyone recognizes the need to ensure access to food and water and so on. And yet we do not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Repeatedly, the Bible talks about our responsibility, and that is the responsibility of shepherds or pastors to feed the flock of God. Well, that's, in our view, as important as eating physical food. They need spiritual food, too. And by the way, at this point, I'm not talking about the governor's order prohibiting feeding the flock. There are other ways to do that. I'm just right now making the point that churches are important, vital, critical in every community. Further on the point of its importance, Jesus does not walk in the midst of the California Assembly, at least not in an official capacity or presence. He doesn't walk up and down the halls of Congress. And again, yeah, there's a presence there, but not as his focused or his what I call his particular presence. The Bible depicts Jesus as walking in the midst of his churches and as dwelling in the midst of his people, with the idea being that his headquarters are the churches. That's his place. It's where he centers his attention and activity. So yes, the church is essential to every community and to every believer. I regard church as vital and certainly critical to the nation in any crisis, and in particular one like this. I argue that the church assembling for prayer at this time is certainly critical to getting through this threat. We need to shelter under the wings of the Almighty. Finally, then, what do I recommend? Well, I already said I intend to obey the law. I regard my work as pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church to be essential during this time. I think it fits that criteria. I have very carefully examined the executive order and studied all related documents appertaining thereto, and I believe that I am within compliance by attending church this Sunday, preaching, being available for counseling, for comfort, for encouraging, and feeding the flock of God. Now, I outlined criteria in my Wednesday night message, and I'm going to make a few adjustments to that to bring us into more strict conformity with the language of the executive order. So I'm going to ask only for those to meet me at church Sunday who are critical to my ability to present our services online via live stream. I think we can do with only the soundboard techs in order for me to broadcast. Now, these are critical to the operation, and I think I only need one person for that. But it might require two. I'll have to talk to my team and find out. But if there are more than one, then these will maintain that 6-foot distance between them that's being asked for by those advocating for social distancing policies. I will encourage those who have any concern at all about the executive order or about coming into contact with the virus, or certainly anybody concerned about spreading it because they're not well, I encourage these people to stay home and view the services via live stream. As for what I will do with any who do come to the services, well, first, no one experiencing symptoms or demonstrating symptoms of a cold or the flu will be admitted into the auditorium. These will be encouraged to return home. But if any of these, or others for that matter, desire to call for the elders of the church to come and pray over them, we're going to respond to that. We will anoint with oil and pray over any who request it. But we will wear gloves and require the sick person to wear a mask during that service. And it will be provided in their homes for the most part, except in cases where that's not possible. For any who have no access to internet and who desire to come to get fed the word of God, well, the necessary bread of life, or to drink of the water of his word, these will be admitted into the auditorium, although I suspect that to be a very small number, if any. I encourage a run on this water and a run on this bread. It is indeed an eternal supply. But the bottom line is that anyone coming to church for comfort and spiritual food and spiritual water will not be turned away. And this conforms to the same exceptions provided to those who need access to stores to purchase necessary food or necessary counseling for spiritual healing and or physical healing. Anyone requiring food is allowed to go into a public store and shop for the food. Or if they need medical attention, of course, they can go to their doctor. Likewise, anyone needing spiritual food or spiritual healing can come to the church and they will be accommodated. However, we will implement the social distancing protocols that I laid out for services, and now I'm going to add a few enhancements. All who enter will receive sanitation for their hands upon entry, after which they will be provided a pair of plastic gloves. We only did that with ushers up till now, but now we'll do that with everybody. And they'll be given a tissue to use to cover their mouth if they cough. Although if they come in coughing, we're going to ask them to go back home. They will be seated together as families, but each family or anyone coming alone or who comes with a non-family member will be separated by 6 feet. There'll be no handshaking. Now, these policies are conformable to the governor's executive order and reasonably accommodate the state public health directives. Church is a vital, critical social sector service to our community. And I expect our social and political servants to honor our faith and our inalienable right to exercise it. As for what others may do, Romans 14, let each be persuaded in his own mind. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. You can call 805-314-2114. That's 805-314-2114. And leave a message for me on our listener response hotline. You could just simply say lights on, then hang up, or lights off and then hang up, or you can leave a more extended message. If you want me to call you back, please let me know. Or if you want to have an extended conversation with me by email, go to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact us button there, click it, and send me an email. So leave a message for me on our listener response hotline, 805-314-2114, or send me a message by email, go to brainmassage.net. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll be at church during our regularly scheduled service times and available to feed the flock of God, the bread and water of God's word, or to pray for any and all who come or attend, or by the way, who attend via live stream, and by the also to anoint with oil and pray over any who request it, while practicing appropriate social distancing and taking all appropriate precautions against contacting or spreading COVID-19. God bless you. God bless America. And by the way, to receive the benefit of my full treatment on the whole issue here, you can go online and find my last Sunday's message and my last Wednesday night message together, combine a full answer to probably any question you might have about this. God bless you, my dear friends.
God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer, because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World today. Go to godswar2020.com. Satan wants you to believe the world belongs to him and that you, Christian, have no say and no place in it. But the secret is out. Jesus is King and all mankind are his subjects. Satan has no right to rule an inch of territory in the earth. Learn how to claim the earth for Jesus Christ. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. God's people face a critical battle for America in 2020. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses, because freedom loses, liberty loses. Go to godswar2020.com. The spirit of Antichrist is rising. Christians are the most persecuted group in the world today, and Antichrist sentiment is rising in America too. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War: Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com. God's people face a critical battle for America in 2020. We the people will take this nation back from the unreasonable and wicked men and women who have dragged this once great land to the maw of hell. Or we will fall into the power of those who hate Christ, Christians, and the Bible. If that happens, everyone loses, because freedom loses, liberty loses. Go to godswar2020.com. Tune in Saturday at 12 noon.